This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So this is a rather interesting story, not just in Australia, but the implications it may have here in the States. Afternoon, everybody. Chad Hartman here with you on Newstalk 830 WCCO. We're going to talk about this, and I'll sum it up this way. Facebook said Monday that it would restore the sharing and viewing of news links in Australia after gaining more time to negotiate over a proposed law that would require to pay for news content that appears on its site. Garrett DeVink does a very good job covering tech, Google, Facebook for the Washington Post, and Garrett is kind enough to join us. Thank you very much for coming on, sir. I appreciate your time. Just kind of set this story up. This has been something that's been discussed for a long time about Facebook and Google and journalism, and would they eventually have to pay for this, and how amazingly powerful these two entities are. Why did this pop up so prominently in Australia?
So, yeah, like you said, for many years now, news organizations have sort of reached most people through Facebook and Google. That's how most people get their news today. They don't necessarily open the morning paper and read it that way. They see links that their friends share, or they Google something, they hear something's going on, they Google it, and they get the news that way. And so for a long time, a lot of news organizations have said, hey, if people are reading our content on Google News or on Facebook without actually clicking through to our websites and, you know, paying for a paywall or seeing an ad on our site, then that's essentially us doing a bunch of work that we don't actually get paid for. So in Australia, the news organizations down there have kind of been lobbying for these intense changes for a long time. And when you combine that with this overall tech backlash that's going on around the world where people are more concerned about the power of big tech, privacy, those kinds of things, it's essentially created a political situation in Australia where the government has said, hey, you know, let's just make a law that says you have to pay news organizations for that content. And so the big company said, wait a second, you know, Google says we're just a company that scrapes the web and allows people to find content. We're not going to pay every time a link to a news site shows up. And Facebook said the same thing. Why would we pay every time, you know, a friend or a relative shares a link and someone sees it on our website? We don't want to have to pay for that. And so they've been having this standoff over the last several weeks.
So how did they strike this deal then?
So essentially what happened is Google initially sort of moved first. They actually made deals directly with the news publishers in Australia. So they said, okay, we don't want to have to pay every time there's a link on Google or on Google News, but we will pay you for one of our special products. And so that essentially means that certain news stories will show up on certain parts of Google's website, on certain apps. If you download the Google News app, if you have an Android phone and you swipe to the left, there's a special section, sort of like Apple News. If you have an iPhone, you might be familiar with that. That will show you news stories. So that's what Google's paying for. Facebook decided to do the same thing on a certain news tab on its website. They'll pay for those news stories, and it allows them to kind of not have to pay for everything else. The Australian government gets to save face, say that they were tough and forced the big tech companies to make a deal, and the news organizations in Australia do get some money out of it, so they're happy as well.
Were they really that tough, though, Australia, if a deal was reached this quickly, or did they deserve credit for this?
I mean, it depends on your perspective. I mean, you might say that it's worrying that a government is telling these large private companies that they have to pay for something. I mean, there is an argument that it would be, you know, the whole internet would change if Google suddenly had to pay for links to show up. Facebook argues, hey, we actually provide a huge service to news organizations by bringing a bunch of people together, showing links to your articles, and a lot of those people end up going to those news websites. I, as a journalist, most of my traffic comes, for better or for worse, from these social media networks. But it shows that, you know, when the government does decide to get tough and it has the political support of people, they can actually kind of make a bit of change here and force some money to change hands.
Okay, so let's tie it back to the states. This seems to be one issue, and there are very few, where Republicans and Democrats are working together and may not agree in all areas where they're upset at Facebook and Google, but they're mad. And the previous administration was upset. This administration is upset at various parts. What is the likelihood that this particular approach that Australia put in play and then caused this deal is also going to take place with our federal government? Are we even close to something like that?
I would say we are not close to this specific kind of rule, regulation, force, negotiation, whatever you want to call it, happening in the United States. Like you said, there is definitely a lot of energy against big tech in the U.S. Conservatives are concerned that Facebook and Google is censoring them. Liberals are concerned that Facebook and Google are not doing enough to keep offensive content or Nazi content or other kinds of really abhorrent stuff off of these platforms, that they're allowing them to grow and spread and create real world violence. So you have a lot of energy directed against these platforms. But in terms of specific legislation, I mean, I think the most likely thing that would happen under this current administration is privacy law, which doesn't necessarily relate specifically to media or to content. It says, you know, people have a right not to be tracked as closely as they are. So that's something that's been talked about for a long time. And I think it's that one is where we're, if we want something real that might actually happen soon, that could happen under this administration. But in terms of, you know, forcing Google and Facebook to pay news organizations, that's probably not going to happen from a legislative point of view in the United States anytime soon.
Well, I want to talk practically how realistic that is. Garrett DeVink is with us from The Washington Post. We're talking about the giants, Facebook and Google, how so many people consume information, what took place in Australia, where Australia was trying to say, well, you're going to have to pay these news outlets for this information and the compromise they reach. You know, we're both on the journalism side every single day, over and over again, Garrett. I am going to Google. I'm not a Facebook person, but I go to Google and I'll punch in maybe Garrett DeVink, right? And all of a sudden your stories will pop up, or people punch in my name and things about the show or whatever it might be. How realistic is it in a country of our size with tens of thousands of sites and media outlets and new media where people are consuming information, where Facebook's going to post it and Google's going to post it, where these entities would pay these outlets a certain amount of money? I mean, I get the trying to diminish the seemingly the endless power that these entities keep getting day after day, but then trying to reduce it in this manner seems almost impossible.
Yeah, I mean, there are actually cases, and, you know, it does exist in the United States where these platforms do pay for news. I mean, Apple News, if we use iPhones, that's an app. There's a special subscription product where you pay Apple, you know, $10 a month to access a bunch of news that would otherwise be paywalled or require a subscription. That is a case where Apple has gone to news organizations, given them money in exchange for selling that content onto people. The Facebook, if you go to Facebook.com and you switch over to the news tab, there will be stories there from, you know, large, you know, quote unquote authoritative outlets. So it's not going to be something small. It's not going to be a blog that you just set up in a week. It's going to be large outlets like CNN, Fox, the New York Times, et cetera, et cetera. But they actually do show up there. And that is something that Facebook does pay the companies for that content. And so You know, but the challenge there, again, is that this really focuses on those big established outlets. And so, especially in a country like the United States, where we don't have a definition of who's a journalist, who gets to be a journalist,
yeah,
the government doesn't
right.
say, okay, you know, it doesn't hand me and you a card saying we're allowed to call ourselves journalists,
yeah.
and someone on, yeah. You know, a blog isn't allowed that. It becomes really difficult, because if you want to
exactly.
remunerate important, good reporting, you don't want to just give it to the New York Times, CNN, Fox, the companies that already have the money. You want to give it to upstarts. You want to create competition. And that's something that's really difficult to figure out, maybe impossible.
Last thing, and really good content here. Why should the typical person listening right now care about this debate?
I think the big takeaway is just to realize that, you know, for better or for worse, Facebook, Google, they are, you know, the decisions that they make impact our society. They impact journalism. They impact, you know, what business decisions that journalistic companies make. You know, when Facebook says, hey, we want a lot of news on our platform, it's great. News organizations get a lot of traffic. And then suddenly when they say, hey, we want more baby photos or events or pictures of your graduation, then suddenly news organizations see a huge drop in traffic and they have to scramble and maybe lay off people. And so I think, you know, it's a very complicated situation. We don't want to rely on Facebook and Google too much. We don't want the government making difficult rules that say who is and isn't a journalist. But of course, we still need to, you know, figure out, you know, realize that these companies have a lot of power when it comes to our news media.
Excellent, Garrett. Appreciate it. We'll definitely reach out again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Garrett DeVink from the Washington Post. I want to stay with this, but I want to remind people too about the breaking story involving Tiger Woods. We're going to jump back into the Tiger Woods conversation with a little more depth in about 10 minutes, so after the next segment. But for the folks just tuning in, news broke at about 1:30 from the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department that Tiger Woods was involved in a single vehicle rollover. 7:12 a.m. This is in Rancho Palos Verdes. This is about 45 minutes to an hour south of LAX. 7:12, on his own, beautiful morning. Doesn't appear that anybody else was with him. We have no idea right now if anybody witnessed the incident. CNN has showed the vehicle numerous times. The front end significantly damaged. It's well off the road. His agent, Mark Steinberg, who has been with him for decades, Steiny. You hear Tiger say Steiny, that's Mark Steinberg. When Adam came on, when we were talking to Jamie, because Adam first saw the news at about 1:30, and was talking about how Mark Steinberg had reached out and put out a statement, and Darren Revelle had it. I was shocked that Mark Steinberg put out a statement. But as we said right then and there, if Steinberg was putting out a statement so soon, that ended for me the conversation about a life-threatening situation. And the news was he is in surgery right now for multiple leg injuries. So more details, more conversation about Tiger, 5 back operations, how he looked, how he appeared, his previous drug addiction, what this might do to his career. Let's get to that at the bottom of the hour. We'll make sure that you know the latest on it. But I want to stay with this Facebook story for one more segment, because I think it should matter. This is unbelievable control that big tech has on us. And it's easy to hate big tech. But it's also fantastic that big tech is around to modernize information for us. So how many people care about this debate? And are you wrong, or are you going to change your view if you don't care? And is it too much of an inner journalism conversation when, yeah, that's what we do here in some way, dispensing information along with the interviews and nonsense and opinions and content. But do we care about this more than the public? So I want you to chime in. 651-989-9226. So let's talk about this story here. Facebook, Google, along with the other powers out there in Silicon Valley, and really how they drive so much of the stock market and how they're so essential to all of our lives, including consuming information. And Australia saying enough is enough. We feel like we should step in and force you to pay these news outlets. I thought Garrett made a really good point, Dan. Do we want countries and governments to step in and do that as opposed to these private businesses trying to resolve this issue? But to act like we don't have regulation in many areas which requires businesses to pay others, we know that's true, right? So where is the balance? Because Facebook draws, to me, and maybe you disagree, more criticism than Google. Some of them might just be Zuckerberg, right? There was another long story, BuzzFeed the other day, how Zuckerberg didn't come down strong enough on the Alex Joneses of the world, right? And it just seems almost any time Zuckerberg's in the news lately, it's a former employee, it's something about the work environment, it's the pursuit of continued world domination, and people have grown tired of it. So we're just a tiny little dot in the ocean of journalism, talking about WCCO radio. We much more, as a radio station, benefit from Google than vice versa, right? Than Google saying, well, they'd have to pay us. Well, you know, the radio station relies so much more on other information to consume it in multiple ways, hosts, news, our website, et cetera. But where is the balance? Where will these outlets, some traditional journalism, others brand new journalism, Dan, that nobody could have envisioned
right.
5 minutes ago, 5 days ago, or 5 years ago, where is the balance of all that exposure that you get, that I punch in a story, and let's say it's some an interview last week we had with Melissa Hortman or with Kurt Dowd, and it pops up and people click on it and there's thousands and thousands of links, let alone if it's a bigger entity and it's a New York Times or something, there's millions and millions of links. Where is that balance of all that exposure that they get that benefits them versus they raise their hands and say, you know what, exposure is great. You're taking our content and it's helping you profit. Where's our cash?
That's the whole question. And I think, you know, it because of the nature of that question, where you could come up with strong arguments on both sides, you know, exposure versus the ability to make money and where, how do you balance that, is why I think this feels like it gets into the weeds for people that aren't in the business, you know, or aren't doing what we do. And that's where the apathy kicks in and folks just, you know, whatever, that's, you know, the businesses and the government got to figure that out. That doesn't affect my day-to-day life. Except it does, because we talked about this, you know, with newspapers putting their content online for free and then realizing that was costing them a ton of money and trying to pull back what they could behind paywalls and trying to figure all of that out. When you have the traditional news entities hemorrhaging money, that restricts their ability to create news, and that has a tremendous trickle-down effect onto other news outlets and onto people's everyday lives and their ability to not only collect news, but as the fourth rail, I mean, you know, the media is so responsible for trying to keep the government accountable at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level.
Yep.
And especially at the local level, that's been a big, big problem lately because they just don't have the resources to do it. So you certainly want to see those entities get paid, but you also understand, you know, Google and Facebook going, look, guys, we're giving you amazing exposure here. You need to figure out how to monetize that. It's not us having to pay you.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Google, like a texter says about the data tracking, Facebook on which stories are popping up, the political criticism they've received. So, yeah, it's a story that I think trickle-down is the right way to say it, too, where it has an impact on everyone in some way, right? Those of us in the media, it's quick. Those consumers, you may not realize it, but it's a part of it. And listen, we had Trump and the cancel culture we have the Democrats and feeling like, well, which stories are you allowing out there too long? Can they come together? And Dan, do they then come together just looking good to their constituents to further embolden themselves, or they look good because, or they, or are they doing this for the good that really it benefits all of us? That's a fair question.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.